Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, Angels, and welcome to our Thursday night show. And we call Thursdays now, we're starting to call it Transformation Thursdays. And I don't know if you noticed or not, but one of the Angel coaches, Carrie, is the one that really thought of that. And that's right up something that, you know, we like to do is get people on here that are making a difference first in their own lives, and then they're helping others make a difference in their lives. And they have a bigger vision for their own life rather than just themselves. And I think that's cool to have that. And I'm so honored, and man, it makes me want to cry now, Keisha, to have Keisha on here tonight. Keisha, I'm not going to say your last name. You're going to have to pronounce it because I don't want to mispronounce it. But Keisha, how do you say your last name? Really? Yeah, because I want to make sure I say it correct. Say your last name.
Mitu.
Okay, see, I was going to say Mito. It's you, okay? And, you know, people try to call me Carrie, and I was like, no, it's Ree. So it's a real honor to have you here. You are, we had you on before, and you were 19 then. That was only a few months ago. Now you're 20. So I actually copied and pasted part of your Facebook, you know, what you said about who you are, you know, and how great your life is. And so welcome to our show. And we want to know how you are doing it. So you guys make her feel welcome and just send her lots of good energy. And I know we have a lot of people listening in tonight because they're excited about your story. And I want to share with everybody, I have a problem with the studio, and it must be the weather. It must be Mercury's in retrograde or whatever it is. But I've got actually had to three-way myself and Keisha on here tonight. So sorry we can't take any questions, but you guys can send them to our facebook.com/angelcoaches. Tari at angelcoaches.org, and then I'll get Keisha to share her site with you or her Facebook page with you. Keisha, I know you just did the prom, and you told us you were doing a prom, you know, getting dresses for girls that couldn't afford the prom, and share with us how that went and what went down with it, because I know you do a lot with women in distress, and we're going to talk about that too. Did you do the prom dress drive for women that you had met in Women in Distress, or how did you find the girls, and how did you find the dress, and how did you find the makeup artist, and how did that get started? And then I want to ask you, Bill, about how you got started. So go with the prom dress first, because that was so cool, because you're 20 years old, and, you know, most 20-year-olds are, you know, partying and playing and dating and going to school, and you're putting a prom, doing fundraising to find money for girls so that they can have a beautiful prom. So, please, how did that go? How did you do that?
Yeah. Well, it was a complete makeover. So I had a prom dress drive, which we call the Limbs Dress Drive, short for Love in My Skin Dress Drive. And we also had the makeover. So it was the Lady of Hearts makeover and the Limbs Dress Drive. So the dress drive was to contribute to the complete makeover. And the way we decided to do that this year was find a high school, and that wasn't the easiest to do because I sent out a lot of emails, and I actually didn't get a lot of emails back from schools that would allow me to do that. So I had a friend, also a member of Love in My Skin. She worked very closely with the high school, and she ended up getting me in contact with that particular school. It's actually Northwest Senior High School in Miami. And I went in, and I did I gave them my story, and I did like a little motivational speech for the women in that class. And then I introduced what we call the write-off. It's called the Love in My Skin write-off. And what that was designed to do was basically teach them that whatever they want, they have to actually work for it. So they were actually working for the makeover. So once they submitted their essays, they would be read over, and it wasn't based on so much grammar or, you know, because we didn't want to discourage them. It was based on creativity. And one of the biggest questions that were in there were, what would you do with, you know, an opportunity if it was given to you to help other people? So we were looking for creativity. And India Solomon ended up winning that first place prize, and she got her makeup, her hair, her nails, and her dress provided through the dress drive and the makeover. For the makeup, Mary Kay actually ended up doing the makeup for that. Darlene, and I work very closely with Darlene and Nadine from Mary Kay, and they actually agreed to do the makeup, and I was super grateful because I'd known Darlene and Nadine from when I worked with the Battered Women's Shelter, and I actually couldn't find a makeup artist, and I called Darlene just to invite her to a dress drive event I was having, and she volunteered herself to do the makeup for my makeover. So all in all, it was just a whole bunch of friends and family that were really supportive, that wanted to see the dress drive and the prom makeover succeed. And that's how this all became successful, or how we managed to actually do the complete makeover. So I was very grateful to have my family and friends.
Aw, I love that.
That's the story behind it.
Well, we had heard that you were doing it and starting it. I'm so happy for you, because I know that prom is such a big deal for young girls, young women, and it's expensive. You know, we were just talking about that the other day. But, you know, I'm jumping in the middle of the story, you know, because some people knew you before because you'd been on the show, like I said, a few months ago. But here's my question. Love in My Skin is your organization. I know you've got a not-for-profit organization that you're building and you're doing, and you're getting all the paperwork with that. But Love in My Skin, how did that start? Okay, because your story and how you got that is so cool. You guys listen to this, all right? So she's 19, she's 20 now. When did you turn 20, by the way? I don't remember your birthday. So
August.
Okay, so you turned 20 in August.
Yes.
You're going to be 21, okay, in a couple of months. Oh, my goodness, all right? It's been a while. So I know, I bet. So you have this organization, Love in My Skin. You're creating a not-for-profit organization.
Yes.
You, when I looked at your Facebook page, Love in My Skin, facebook.com/loveinmyskin, you say what you say in there, what you do. Okay, give you say it better than I can, but please share with us what you do and who you are. And then I'll tell how you got Love in My Skin.
I'm 20 years old. And I'll be turning 21 in a couple months. I'm really excited. Not so much to drink, but just to say I'm 21. But I'm a student. I'm actually a psychology major. I have about another 2 years left in my program. And I'm also a chef. I currently have a cook position, but I am a chef by trade. I started Love in My Skin, I want to say, about a year and a half ago.
One question I have before you go, before that. You were a motivational speaker and an empowerment for women.
Women empowerment activist, yes.
There you go. I love that. I was like, how'd you think of that? You know, that's all in her Facebook page. I was like, oh, cool. I'm just going to even try to say anything. I'll put it in her words. So, yeah, it's a great way of saying that. So you're all that. You're 20 years old, waiting for your 21st birthday. When I was 20 years old, I was trying to find where I'd left my shoes. And I'm like, even talk about that situation. So, so you're all of that, and you work with women in distress. You are a motivational speaker.
Yes.
And how did you start Loving My Skin? How'd that come to pass? Because I know your story is triumphing over tragedy. So share with us.
Well, I like to start by telling people that this was never something I intended to do. I know when you're growing up and you're in high school and you're graduating, you have all these things you want to be, and a motivational speaker or an activist or even starting my own nonprofit organization was never a thought in my mind. But I was dealing with a lot of teenage girl issues, a lot of issues that we go through as teenage women. And I started Loving My Skin, obviously, you know my story, but I started Loving My Skin for other women. And I started realizing that a lot of problems that I saw within myself, as far as insecurity issues and body image issues and self-esteem issues, a lot of those things that I saw in myself, I saw in other women, and it kind of broke my heart. But loving my skin actually started with a dream. And when I tell people this, they're like, a dream? And I'm like, yes, a dream. So I, at the time that I had this dream, I'm going to tell you what I saw in the dream. I'm going to tell you why it actually meant something to me. But our insignia, her name is Lady of Hearts, and she's actually very similar to a stick figure. And I saw that image in my dream. And at the time that I saw that image in my dream, I was battling a lot of issues in myself as far as self-esteem issues and body image issues. My biggest issues were scars, and I had them all over my body. I have 12 stab marks in my back. I have one in my chest. I have a few smaller scratches from that same incident, and one very large scar vertically on my stomach. So at the time, I was battling a lot of those issues, and I was also battling with my weight, which a lot of women battle with. And at the time, I didn't know any way to deal with it other than to go on crazy diets and starve myself, like what society made acceptable for myself and other women. That's what I was doing. I was starving myself. I was going on these crazy diets that weren't healthy, and they were making me sick. Mm-hmm. Well, at the time that I had the dream with what is now our insignia, I was on the lemon diet. And I don't know what if anybody knows what the lemon diet is, but I'm going to tell you what it is. And I don't recommend it to anyone.
I don't recommend the cookie diet. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
I think everybody loves the diet.
Yeah,
but,
cookie diet.
I wouldn't recommend this diet to anyone. It's actually fresh lemon. You have to squeeze the lemon yourself for it to be effective, apparently. Cayenne pepper, honey, and tap water. And for 10 days, you have to drink this concoction. You can't eat anything else. And you just drink the lemon juice for 10 days, no eating. And it's a crash diet. You're supposed to lose all this weight, and you're supposed to detox. But I ended up getting sick at about day seven of no food with just the juice and the water. And I actually had this dream, and I woke up, and I didn't know what it meant, and I knew it was important. I had a feeling that it was really important, and I woke up, and I was like, God, what does this mean? At first, I thought it was actually him telling me to open my own catering business or something to that effect, because that's what I was doing at the time. I was cooking, and it wasn't clicking, like something with it wasn't clicking. And I actually drew, when I woke up, I drew what I saw. And throughout the whole day, I thought about it, and I was fighting with it. I didn't know what it meant. So that night I prayed on it, and I just started writing down all these things that of what it was supposed to mean. And I wasn't thinking. The way I explained this to people is I didn't think. My fingers are just moving. And after about 4 pages, everything I had put down was to the effect of women and fighting body image issues and fighting any struggle in our everyday life. And that was all on those 4 pages without me even thinking. And that's when I knew what loving my skin was.
Oh, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got to just, somebody just sent me a text. How did you get the stab marks? Because that contributed to your low self-esteem.
Yes.
Not the only thing. But you know, take us back a little bit. How did that happen? And because you talked about you have a great life, but it wasn't always like that. So.
No, it wasn't. The stab marks were, I want to say, about 5 to 6 years ago. I was 15 years old. It was December 26th, and I remember it was December 26th because it was the day after Christmas. And my mom's fiance at the time, he wasn't the nicest, and he wasn't He wasn't the worst, but he wasn't the nicest. He was actually very abusive mentally and emotionally, but he was never abusive physically. Well, this particular night, they had gone out to a club, and he told my mom that he was coming back to the house to check on us. It was myself and my twin brother. He told my mom he was coming back to the house to check on us, and when he returned to the house, he came to my room, and he ended up covering my face with a pillow. And I didn't think anything of it, which is crazy when I tell people this. I actually didn't think anything of it because it was kind of the norm to, like, because I grew up with all brothers. Three of my brothers lived in that house at the time, and I would get waken up with, like, pillow fights or somebody jumped on me. So in that moment, it didn't seem out of the norm to me, but it was a lot of pressure on the pillow. And that's why I woke up so angry. I was just like, oh, my gosh, you guys play too much. But then I kind of realized it was just him. And my room was still dark. There was no light in my room, but I could see the light from the living room. And he was coming back, and I turned to grab my phone to call my mom. And he went and slapped the phone out of my hand. He tried to stuff my mouth with a sock. But we ended up fighting to where my mattress even came off of my box spring. He picked me up and he brought me to their room because he didn't have a bed anymore. The mattress was on the box spring. Long story short, he ended up sexually assaulting me and duct taping me, my mouth, my legs, my arms, anywhere that could be duct tape was duct taped. And my mom ended up coming home because I guess mother's intuition kicked in and she just didn't feel like something was right. So she came home, and before she came home, actually, she called to find out if everything was okay. And while he was talking to her, he had a knife to my throat telling me that if I screamed that he was going to kill me.
Wow.
So I sat there quiet, and I guess my mom still didn't feel like something was right. So she came home. When she came home, I was actually on the floor. He took me off the bed and he threw me to the floor. My mom came in the house and she asked him what was going on. I could hear them arguing and she's yelling and he's yelling and I hear her scream. And then I heard him hit her. So at that point I knew that he had turned on her. So I scooted on my butt to the telephone, and at the time everybody still had a house phone, not like now where it's all cell phones. So I used my chin to pull down the phone with the cord, and I used my fingers behind my back to dial 911. As soon as I did that, I scooted back to where I was because I knew that if he came, he would know that I had called 911. So I hear her screaming and them yelling, and I hear the front door shut. So apparently she got away from him. And he comes back in the room, and he takes me up off the floor, and he throws me back onto the bed. He shuts off all the lights. And at this point, the cops are already there because I had already called them. So he throws me on the bed, and I remember vividly, he takes his last cigarette before he goes, "I thought I told you not to scream," and he grabs the knife, and that's how I got my stab marks.
Wow.
Yep.
So the police are there, he's stabbing you with the police outside.
Yeah, they were breaking down the doors because my mom had already told them that he was inside. He said, "I thought I told you not to scream." The first smart stab was to my chest. And I knew that if I had stayed on my back, I probably would be dead. So I flipped over onto my stomach, and that's
right.
Why the rest were in my back.
I, you guys who are listening and who will down this later, she is absolutely beautiful. She's stunning, beautiful. And so my question to you is: you're 15 years old. You've got stab wounds all over you. You've got a man that has sexually assaulted you, who's old enough, I'm assuming, to be your dad.
Mm-hmm.
And you're angry. Were you angry? Were you super angry? I would be angry. I was.
But the funny thing about it is I was angry, but more than anything, I just wanted to move on with my life. I just wanted to pretend like nothing happened. But my scars made that very hard.
Okay, I hear you.
My scars made that very hard. Actually, at the time, I told you I run. At the time, I was running track. It was track season. Everybody knows that the winter season is track season in high school and college. So it was track season. And 2 weeks later, I was actually at a track meet. And I remember my teammates, I had everything covered up until that point. I didn't want to have to explain what it was or why I had the scars. So, and they were actually still fresh, like very fresh. They weren't clothes. I was still wearing bandages. And I was at a track meet and I was changing, and one of the girls, she asked me what it was. And I remember I wasn't embarrassed. I was just frustrated because just like, I have more scars on top of the one that I already have. I was just really frustrated. So I told her what it was, and I just didn't want anybody to know. But most importantly, I didn't want anybody to see my scars. And that was the biggest, that was something I battled with for years after that. So from that point on, I had already had this huge issue with the scar on my stomach. And now I just didn't want to wear anything that was revealing to my back. So that was, I think, my biggest issue in high school. My sister's wedding was actually, I want to say, like 5 to 6 months after that. And I had the makeup artist cover up my scar so that no one would see it. And I think that was one of my revelations when I was on that lemon diet, and when I had that dream, that's kind of when I accepted everything about my body. I didn't really look at it as something that was this burden anymore. I decided in that moment, or in that time span of the lemon diet and me doing all these crash diets, I just woke up one day and it literally just happened like this, where I was just like, I have to, like, this is foolishness. I'm not a bad person. I have an amazing heart. Like, you have to sit yourself down and kind of have this little pep talk, and that's what I had to do.
Right.
And realize that it wasn't that bad, or that not everybody was looking at it. Because a lot of times when we have scars, or physical scars, because we all have scars, whether they're internal or external, but when you have physical scars, you feel like people are just always looking at them. And you either have to say they're not always looking at them, or you just have to say, I don't care. And
wow.
You have to kind of just not care. It's just, you are who you are. And if you can't really do anything about it, you have to accept that and just love who you are. And that's what loving my skin is about. I just said that without even realizing, but that's exactly what loving my skin is. Loving who you are, a beautiful heart, a beautiful you.
Amazing, amazing story. You started out with a scar on your stomach quickly. How did you get that scar? I mean, it sounds like that was your lesson to learn and to teach this lifetime.
I think I was five, and at the time I was in Jamaica. I'm originally from Jamaica. But at the time I was five, I was in a car accident where I was run over by a car.
Wow.
And I was actually pinned underneath the car. I don't know how long, but the car went to run over me and it stopped. And it was actually an accident. But the car stopped while it was on top of me, and they actually had to lift the car off of me. But I ended up having a split liver, a damaged pancreas, and I was 5 years old, I ended up having to learn how to walk again. And from that accident, I had this huge vertical scar on my stomach and this burn on my entire left arm from, I honestly don't know what it is to this day. I'm pretty sure it's because my skin rubbed off from being underneath the car on top of rocks and sand. So my entire arm was burnt. And as a kid, you don't immediately realize that you have scars. You don't immediately build those insecurities. But as you start to go to school and you're around other kids, they make you very aware of it. So at the time, I remember the first time I was aware of it, I was playing, my shirt lifted up, and this little girl goes, "Oh, my God, ew, what do you have on your stomach?" And that's when I think I went into this shell where it was just like I was so uncomfortable with my body, and that started young, at like maybe 6, 7, where I didn't want my stomach to show. I wasn't one of those kids that couldn't wait to wear a two-piece.
I just didn't
want to, and I actually avoided things like that, going to the beach and going to the pool, because I knew that if I did wear a two-piece, it would be the topic of conversation, or I would wear a towel until I got to the pool and, like, just jump in as soon as I got there. So it wasn't a very comfortable experience for me, so I kind of avoided it.
Wow. So. Thank you. That's just the beginning of your story of, like, how you got to Love in My Skin and had the dream. It sounds like the universe, your higher power, God, whoever you, angels, they really prepared you to, mm-hmm. by learning the lesson, so you could really share it and show it and teach it. And I love your story. It's just, you know, you just got to get to the point where you just don't care. And that's a great, great, great way of looking at it. I had another question. Somebody texted me. Thank you for sharing, being so open and honest. The essay that won the prom makeover, what was something in her essay that really struck at your heart that she got it on a big level, or if that's a correct way of saying it? What was something in that essay that touched your heart, maybe a better way?
Well, she felt genuine to me, and that's important to me. Everything she felt just sounded genuine, and her story itself was amazing to me. Like, the school itself was an inner city school, so obviously you're dealing with kids that aren't in the situations or don't live in the best places, and she just wanted to get out for her family. She talked about wanting to be better for her family, to make her mother proud. She was the middle child of three girls, and her older sister moved out of the house, moved away, and she kind of reminded me of myself, just wanting to make her mom proud and make her mom happy with who she was as a person. So I think what really pulled me to her, if I should say, was how genuine she was and her story itself and her reminding me of myself and wanting to just be a better person and make my family proud and make my family happy. So I think that's what it was. And she was extremely grateful. I ended up meeting her and her mom, and she was just really grateful.
Oh, I like that. That's a great Cinderella story right there.
It's funny. She actually said when she tried on her dress, one of the first things she said, because she tried on a couple dresses, and when she finally tried on the dress, she said, "Oh, my God, I feel like a princess." And I actually teared up.
Aw. <So. laughs> Well, I'm tearing up now. I was like, oh, my goodness. So that's great. You're working with women in distress, and you're meeting – talk to us about that, because you did this through Women with Distress, I think, Women in Distress.
Yes.
And, okay, so that's how this all came together, too. And what are you doing – what is your next step? Because I know that you're a motivational speaker. You and Mary Kay, you guys had – a few months ago went there and helped make these women up, and so that they look beautiful on the outside. I guess you guys talked to them and inspired them so they felt beautiful on the inside. Mm-hmm. And so you're going now to Women in Distress on Monday. I think I asked if I'd come with you because So what's your next thing with them? What do you want to do? I think that's cool. So what do you want to do with them?
I first started working with them back in February when I did their actually work with Mary Kay on this one too. We did a pampering day for Valentine's Day because a lot of the women there, obviously, they don't have their spouses. I want to say maybe 90% of them. They don't have spouses because chances are they're running from someone. So we wanted to take that day to actually just pamper them and remind them that there are people out there that care and that there are things out there that they can turn. You know, I just wanted to, in that event, just wanted to show them that there's people there. That was my biggest thing, and make them feel good on that day. So we actually, my brother, he's a massage therapist, and I actually pulled him into it, and he was actually very willing to do it. I didn't have to force him. I didn't have to do a lot of, you're going to do this. So,
is this your twin brother?
My twin brother. And he actually came with a few of his massage tables and a couple of his friends from school. And they did massage. Mary Kay did pampering with satin hands. And we ended up playing, like, board games and just sitting down and talking to them. And that was really fun. We brought chocolate, and they, some of the girls, they brought their babies. And it was just a really good experience. It just felt right. And so from then on, we worked with them. And this is our second time meeting up, because right after that I had to jump right into the prom makeover planning. So on Monday I'm supposed to be meeting up with Nina, who is the director of Broward Outreach Center, and I'm supposed to be proposing our next step and actually dropping off just a few donations that we collected, because we also do constant donation drives for them.
That's
so
cool. I like that. I like that. I get to go with you too this time, right? So, because
yes.
I'm by myself. And she and I talk. She's a runner, and I'm a runner, and I can say that now. And I've been in races, and she loves to run too, and we ran track. And so one of the things that we've talked about doing was maybe being able to do a 5K run and getting sponsors for that, to, you know, where we can raise money for the women in distress. That's you've touched my heart with that, and I'd really like to help that. And I love to run, like to help people. So we'll work together, put our heads together on that, and get people out there running. So, that's cool, because I know you're a pretty fast runner. I can only do an 8-minute mile. This one right here can probably do a 6 or 7 minute mile. It's all good. Have a round and come and get me on the last half, okay? So a 5K may be something like raising money for the women, you know, women and kids there, because I know they got kids there too as well.
Yes,
so
we do.
So, well, you'll help me. We'll talk to her and see what we can do, and maybe we can put something together on email blast and really make this something where it's significant, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And this can be the first of many. You shared something tonight. Yeah, a shared idea really has power. When you take an idea and you take it person by person or organization by organization, and it sounds like you've got some great stuff there. I'd love to be a part of it. Our angel coaches would. And I know there are people on tonight that would love to help you, because I know their hearts. And we want to be a part of what you're doing, helping women. I like to help everybody, but, you know, this is a good way to go, too. Let me ask you a question. What would you like to see happen with your not-for-profit organization? How would you like to see that help women or people, maybe? Because, you know, it's not only about women. I think sometimes it's men and women.
Yeah.
Each of us, yeah, you know, if you can help the women, you can help the men. If you help the men, you can help the women. So what would you like to see your organization be and do? What do you ultimately, do you see it going? Or do you even have an idea about that?
Yes. my biggest goal with Love in My Skin is for both women, men and women, is to just intercept society's outlook on what beauty really is. That's my biggest goal, and that's our biggest goal collectively, is just to show people that beauty isn't all about what's on the outside. It's not always going to be about physical traits. It's what's on the inside, and I think that's what's most important. And I do target women and I target young females because I feel like we need to realize that. We, as women, I feel like men don't care as much. I'm not saying men don't have insecurities, but as women, we're so much more sensitive and we're ridiculed and we're criticized daily, more so than men. So my biggest goal is to actually show other women that it's okay to have a little stretch marks. It's okay to have a little extra weight. And despite your color, your social status, or whatever it is, you deserve to live a happy and healthy life.
That's true. That is so, so, so true. You know, and I'm going to share this with you. We're getting ready to do a show called Modest is Hottest, okay? And that's a relationship show because, you know, I have a 19-year-old girl that came to me and she says, I got a great idea for a show. And she said, women, young girls are trying to dress older to show and showing off their body wearing heels and shorts that show their rear and all this kind of stuff. And I said, really? I said, older women, 30s and 40s, are doing the same thing because they're trying to look younger. And it's really, and so the, she says, well, I think you should do a show called Modest is Hottest, okay? So we're, you know, people are dressing appropriately and going from, you know, what's on the inside versus what's on the outside. You know what? And I was like, wow, that's a great idea. So we're getting ready to put a show together about that. Love to hear your thoughts on that. You know, maybe you can help us with that and participate because you've got some great ideas with the beauty. Beauty is more than just what you look like. It's who you are in the inside. Mm-hmm. And
I can't stress that enough or say that enough. And I think at some point in all of our lives, both men and women, we do realize it. And it takes someone actually not so much saying it, but being an advocate for it and actually supporting women who fight with these issues every day. I mean, I say these things, but I'm not all the way there either. I tell people all the time, I grow every day with my organization. And I think that's what I value most is every day that I sit down and I put work into loving my skin or I look for our next move, I grow every single time as a person. And I think that's all it takes is just people working together to help other people feel good about themselves.
Oh, that's so true. That is so true. Well, you guys, she's been wonderful, and you have just been amazing. I appreciate you being so open and honest and sharing with us. We're going to be going down to on Monday. I'll go with her. And if you guys want to check out her organization, you can go to Facebook.com and then Love in My Skin, right? So you want to show them, because I know you have to put it in a certain way, so I'll let you. And I put it that way in the emails and on my Facebook page. But it's Facebook.com, and then how do you do the Love in My Skin? It's hyphened, I think, right?
Yes, it's just Love-in-my-skin.
There you go. And it's beautiful, and it's got her a symbol, or you know, that of her organization and what she dreamed about. So thank you so much for sharing with us. And
Thank you so much for having me.
You're so beautiful. And anyway, you guys, here's the deal. We're starting a whole new show on Sunday night at 6:30 p.m. East Coast time. So if you want to listen in, you know the number. And it's all about relationships, and it's based on a book, You Mean There's a Law That Says He Has to Be Attracted to Me, and that's with me and Diane. Or you can go on my website, angelcoaches.org, and order it there, or you can go to Amazon and just put my name in it, Taree Abbott or Diane Bucci, whatever, and then order the book. But it's got some really good stuff in there about the law of attraction and about inner beauty, outer beauty, the angels, and being authentic, being a transparent to really connect and find the guy, girl of your dreams. Let's see what else. I think that's about it. Like our show on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/angelcoaches. And also, if you like us on Facebook, facebook.com/angelcoaches. We are getting ready to really update the site, so it's going to be pretty exciting with all the new coaches on there. And there's something on there for everybody. Empowerment, women, men issues, just everything. So we want to have a one-stop shop where you can get spirituality and do business and you know, at in one place. So we've got some, and we've got a new person coming on. She's going to teach about how to manage your money, you know, women managing their money. That's a key thing there. So men too, okay, but you can always teach women. Men, sometimes you have to show, right, because they don't like to be taught about money because usually they think they're the experts, and I'm just teasing about that. But she's an amazing gal, and I've known her for some time, but she said, I'd like to help women learn how to manage their money, our people, so and have a great financial plan put together. So anyway, that's a good thing. All right, you guys have a great now. Keisha, I will give you a call back, and you guys have a wonderful day. Take care, everybody. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.